Well, I hope you're excited to be here tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. And I am going to do my best to do the best explaining I can in the book of Revelation. I have been through this myself with my class, my young adult class I had years ago. And I'll be honest with you, it was very intimidating back then, and it's intimidating now. But I will do my best, how God has laid things on my heart, and that's where we'll go. I'm trying to open up my tablet. All right, Book of Revelation, chapter number 1. We're going to go through verse number 1 down through verse number 8. I have 22 points that I'm going to get through tonight. All God's people said, go quickly. No, it won't take long. I've done some adjusting in how I'm doing everything. For the past year and a half, I've been writing everything down word for word, and that takes a long time to type everything up, because as I'm typing, more and more things come to me. The last couple weeks, I've switched it up just a little bit. I'm going to try to get more of an outline form going, and it seems to be working out for me as well, but you'll be able to understand my thoughts a little bit better here. The title of this message tonight is Hear the Words. I usually try to get my titles exactly from the section that we're reading from. I don't know if you noticed that about me, but that's where I try to get all my titles from. So Hear the Words, and we're going to see this in the first couple of verses here. Verse number 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I'm going to stop there real quick. As we get done reading this, I'm going to explain how this process is to help us get a better understanding of what is being talked about here. Verse number 2, it says this, who bear record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I'm going to stop there. Don't shy away from reading the book of Revelation. It might sound scary to a lot of folks, and that's fine. It should scare us, to be honest with you, if you're not saved. But I don't want people to shy away from the Word of God and say, man, this is too much in here. There's a lot of judgments taking place. Well, we got to understand why the judgment's taking place to begin with. It's because of sin. Man refusing to repent and get back to God. But the word here, verse number 3, says, blessed. So upon reading God's Word, guess what's going to come after that? You're going to be blessed by it. So take that in consideration as you go through the book of Revelation. So blessed is he that readeth. And then it goes on and says, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. It can also relate to as a pastor opens up the scripture and begins to read it, the pastor will be blessed. And then you can look at it in this sense where it says, and they that hear the words. So it can go on, and the congregation that's going to hear the words that's going to be preached and read are going to be blessed as well. Okay? And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. How many of us in here tonight can remember almost every preacher, every evangelist, every missionary as they come through saying, the time of God is at hand? Even though time has passed and we're still here, the time is very real. God's time is at hand. One thing that we've got to understand as we hear this from the pulpit, from many preachers, and I'm going to say it towards the end of my message tonight, God does not work on our time. Okay, God's not on our timetable. He's on his own time. So we've got to understand those things. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Well, that's because it's God's time. So we've got to understand those things. Go on, verse number 4 through verse number 8, you're going to see John really greeting these churches here, these seven churches that are being addressed. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. It's talking about Jesus right there. Okay? Those three statements right there. Grace be unto you, peace from him. Who's him? Jesus Christ. Why am I taking time to explain this tonight? Because we got to understand what the book of Revelation is really all about. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is being revealed more in the book of Revelation. And if we don't see that in the book of Revelation, we're going to miss so much. So I want to understand that here. So, and peace from him, talking about Jesus Christ, which is, okay, Christ still is, amen? Christ still is, amen? Yeah, all right. I'm thankful tonight we do not serve a dead Savior. I'm stopping here just for a little bit because there's so many people that are falling into a false religion where they serve somebody that has already passed or is non-existent. Our Lord exists. He still is. And it says, which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. I won't be able to explain that this week, but hopefully next week I'll be able to explain this a little bit better. I'm in no hurry to get through this. I think we need to take our time getting through this, okay? Verse number 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 5 is a message in and of itself. I can really do away with the rest of this message tonight and focus on verse number 5, to be honest with you. Verse number 6, I like this, and hopefully I'll deal with more of this next week. It says, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with his clouds, with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse number 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask God to speak to our hearts. And I hope that we can, don't worry about any of these points. Okay, I know I said I have 22 points. Try not to even keep track of them. Because if you do that and you're thinking, man, when's Chad going to get done? Don't worry about those, okay? We'll go through this rather quickly. Lord, I need your help tonight as we go through your word. I pray that I would be able to be a help to your people. Help us to have more of an understanding of the book of Revelation, the things that are to come. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, as I read this, I thank you for saving me from this. But Lord, there's going to be so many people that aren't going to be as fortunate as I am or anybody else that's here in this room because they've rejected you, as I talked about this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts, and we ask you in your name. Amen. First thing I want us to look at tonight as we go through this, God has the final say. Okay? God has the final say. Why do I say that? Because judgment is coming. We're to a point now where everything has been, there's been many things that people have ridiculed God for. They've mocked him. They've cursed him. And now judgment is going to be coming to this earth. God has the final say in this matter. We read here, basically, in verse number 1 and verse number 2, the chain of command. And this is important for me to bring this out to you because I want us to understand this a little bit. There is a chain of command, and guess where the chain starts with? Anybody real quick? Starts with God. Starts with God first, okay? Verse number 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which who? God gave unto him. Who's unto him? Jesus. God begins to reveal his plan to Jesus. As Jesus receives that plan, as it's been revealed to him by his Father, Jesus then delivers that plan to his angels. You following along with me on this one? And after that message, after that plan has been revealed to the angels then deliver that plan to who? John, exactly. And John, when he sees that plan, and after he looks at that blueprint, by the way, we're going to see how he looks at this later on. John then delivers that plan to who? Us, the churches that are mentioned here in Revelation chapter number 1. The theme of this whole book of Revelation is all about Jesus Christ. So I want us to focus on Jesus Christ. So as our focus is on him, we're not going to miss anything else, because that's important for us to understand that this evening. There are some things that are going to be revealed in the book of Revelation here. I'm going to give you four things that I want you to pay attention to as we go through this, okay? The first thing that we are going to see revealed in the book of Revelation, besides Jesus Christ being the main theme, you're going to see something else. Anybody want to take a stab at this? Okay, nobody? That's okay. If I was sitting in your chair, I would say the same thing, because every time I hear a pastor, hey, I got a question, I'm like, don't ask me. I don't want to give you an answer. Don't look at me. By the way, I don't look at anybody. I look on the top of your heads. So, just to let you know that. The first thing that we're going to see in the book of Revelation that's going to be revealed is the Antichrist. I personally believe today that the Antichrist already exists. I truly do. Just going off some of the prophecies that have already been taking place, even in our lifetime, I believe the Antichrist exists. I truly do. You know, you might take that up with me later on and say, I don't really believe that. That's fine. We might agree and disagree on those things. We're not here to argue with each other. I'm just giving you what I personally believe. By the way, anybody who denies Jesus is an antichrist. So let's put it in real simple terms. But I believe the main one is upon the scene. A couple years ago, and one of the reasons why I say this, a couple years ago when I was in Israel, the first time I was there, the red heifer was finally cloned. So they have a perfect red heifer. I believe it was this past spring that the red heifer was finally sacrificed. My dad was asking me, why is this such a big deal? Because the red heifer needs to be sacrificed in order for the third temple to be built. The third temple is going to be built very soon. By the way, you and I will never see the third temple, because it won't take place until the middle of the tribulation. So we won't see those things. But that perfect red heifer has been gone through by the rabbis with a fine comb. They've gone through every hair of that thing. They have not found any blemish on it, so they set that one aside. And after 2 years, because they say within 2 years they will sacrifice the red heifer. So the red heifer has now been sacrificed upon the brazen altar. By the way, I was able to see the brazen altar. I actually have pictures of it. I wasn't supposed to take pictures of it, because the brazen altar is one of the artifacts that's going to be going into the third temple. So it's pretty amazing that the process of the third temple is already in the making. It hasn't been built yet. There's some things that has to take place in order for that to happen, but it's going to happen very soon, which is why I believe that the Antichrist is soon to come upon the scene. Are you saying this to scare you? No, I'm saying this for this reason. The time of God is at hand. It truly is. Realistically, there's really no other prophecy that really needs to be fulfilled. God can come at any moment. We live in the age of grace. And that age of grace is soon going to come to an end. So we will see the Antichrist being revealed. The second thing that we will see revealed in the book of Revelation is this. We will also see the judgment of God. We'll see that take place. You look back at the Old Testament. What do we read about in the Old Testament the majority of the time? We read about God's judgment. Yet as you go through the New Testament, you don't really see any of those judgments taking place until you get to the book of Revelation. Why is that? I look at it like this. The New Testament is the age of grace for us. We're seeing grace throughout the whole book of the New Testament, all those books in there. Now you get to the end, and now you're seeing that the judgment of God is going to be revealed. Why is God's judgment going to come? Because God can only take so much. And once that has finally come to an end, his wrath is going to be revealed. Again, is that something that you and I should be scared about? No, because you and I are believers. Amen? But you and I have friends. We have family members. We have co-workers who will probably go through this, which is why, as this morning I was laid upon my heart, the importance of being that preacher, being that voice to people that we come in contact with. We ought to try and do our best to get them to understand the importance of accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. The third thing that we're going to see that it shows us calamity on the earth. The fourth thing that is going to be revealed is the mystery Babylon will be revealed in great vivid detail. And we'll see these things as we begin to go along with this. And I'm taking my time to set this up for you of things that to expect as we go through the book of Revelation. By the way, I used to say the book of Revelations. Correction, it's Revelation. And people used to, and it's not the book of Revelation. Stop saying Revelations. It's Revelation. This is something I want to share with you. So we'll see those four things. As I said a little earlier, do not ignore the reading of Revelation. Matter of fact, I think you ought to make it more of a part of your reading schedule, to be honest with you, to help you understand some things a little bit in more detail. Don't shy away from it. Try to get as much information as you can. By the way, as you go through the book of Revelation, I will encourage you to read the book of Daniel as you go through that. And we're going to go through that here a little bit because you really can't go through the book of Revelation without explaining some of the books of Daniel. So we'll try to do that to the best of my ability here. So why do we not ignore the reading of the book of Revelation? Because, as I said a while ago, you'll be blessed from reading it. So John begins to say some things here. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and magnified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Jump down to verse number 3 at the very bottom. Says this, for the time is at hand. What does that phrase mean? It means it will come to pass shortly. See, we tend to forget about the book of Revelation and all the judgments that are going to come take place. We tend to forget about the coming back of Jesus Christ because we've heard it so much in our lifetime. The time of God is at hand. He's going to come quickly. It's going to be in a blink of an eye. That is very true. But we forget, and which is why I stopped a little while ago to dwell on it, and I'm going to dwell on it a little bit more. God operates on his own timetable. God doesn't operate on our timetable. Matter of fact, I'm going to put it to you this way. God does not operate on our calendar. What calendar should we be following? I'll give you a hint. The Jewish calendar. Try following that. Anybody have a Jewish calendar at home? We have a Jewish calendar. My wife's dad, before he passed, he went into Judaism and began to follow the law in everything. And I've never faulted him for that because that was his belief system. And I tell you what, you know, there were times I did not agree with him on that. But during that time, I saw a tremendous growth in his life where he desired to be around God more than anything. But one of the things that I appreciated was the fact that I was able to know just a little bit more about the Jews and their calendar. You want to know what calendar we go off on today? This will scare you. You say, I thought you weren't here to scare me. No, I want you to think about the calendar we're operating off of today. We're going off the Catholic calendar. We truly are. That ought to scare us right there. You know, a lot of us, we celebrate Christmas. But you know where Christmas came from? It didn't come from Chris. It came from the Catholic calendar. Those are some things that to really think about. So God doesn't operate on our calendar. God doesn't operate on our time. I hope I'm making sense with this. The time is at hand, and it will come to pass shortly. The book of James says, life is nothing but a vapor. You think about that. There are some folks that are in here that are in their 60s and their 70s, and you're thinking, yeah, Chad, you're absolutely right. Time has gone by so fast, I cannot believe I'm here in my 60s and in my 70s. Time flies like you wouldn't believe. You know, I'm getting ready to approach 48. I never thought I'd see my life past the age of 25, to be honest with you. I thought people were old during that time. But now I'm getting ready to turn 48 here in a couple months, and I'm saying that just to give you a little bit of heads up for my birthday. That's all. But I sit there and I look back, wow, where does time go? It goes quickly. It will come to pass shortly. Verses 4 through 9, we see that John begins to greet the churches. As he begins to greet the churches, you'll see something that takes place in verse number 8. I'm going to come back to these other verses next week, and I'm not trying to overload you with a lot of information tonight, so I'm trying to be very quick with this. To give you something just to chew on throughout the week. I like hearing some things and just little tidbits because the little tidbits make me think throughout the week. Is anybody else like that? Or is it just me? Thank you. That's how my mind works. You overload me with a lot of information, it's out the door. Why is that? Well, I'll give you a little hint. Our minds are trained to really only take something for 15 minutes. How do I know that? What do we sit in front of most evenings for hours at a time? We sit in front of the television. What happens on a television every 15 minutes? A commercial break. They do it for a reason. They have the reasons why they do it. One is this. They have stuff that they want to sell you, so they're going to sell you all those things. And some of us will probably buy into that. I'm so glad I don't see infomercials anymore. That caused me to go break. But wait, there's one more deal you can have. Anyway, our minds aren't geared to have so much information. I remember talking to my pastor here a couple years ago. I went up to him and said, man, I said, you got a lot of knowledge. I go, I appreciate about that about you. I said, man, you're preaching for an hour and a half. And I sat through an hour and a half of services sometimes. And I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, I can't remember the first 45, 50 minutes. I can only retain about 15, 20 minutes. So that's what I'm trying to do tonight. I'm not trying to overload you. I'm trying to give you just something that you can chew on and think about. Well, what is Alpha and Omega? That's the Greek alphabet. The first part of the Greek alphabet is Alpha. The last part of that is Omega. And the meaning is, he is the what? Beginning. And the end. Exactly. I would encourage you, I've told you this before, I took Greek for about 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. And I'm going to tell you what, that's one of the hardest things I ever did. Because you guys know me with pronunciation. I can't pronounce words for the life of me. And that's how God made me, so you have to accept me for how God made me. Okay? But I remember trying to go, I'm going to encourage you to go through the Greek alphabet and try to memorize that. The one thing that always sticks out to me is Alpha and Omega. I just love those words. The beginning and the end. So again, to sum this up, we are on God's timetable, and we're not on man's timetable. Well, what's the importance of the introduction of this? Well, I'm going to tell you the importance of this introduction, why we're doing this, is this. Be ready. You and I need to be ready. Well, what do we need to be ready for? Well, if judgment is coming, what is going to take place? The rapture. The return of Christ for his bride. Who's his bride? It's his church. Those of us that have put our faith, trust in him. And by the way, it's not just Baptists. It's people who put their faith and trust in him. So I don't want us to have the idea and the mindset, well, only the Baptists are going to heaven. No, that's not true. Because I will say this, there are many Baptists that are on their way to hell because they have not received Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. So be ready for what? His return is quick. I put this in here. Don't get caught watching the paint dry. Don't get caught watching the paint dry. There's a saying why I say that. In basketball, there is a 3-second violation. If you stay inside the certain lane, guess what happens? For over 3 seconds, they call a foul on you. They used to. Why do they normally stay in there for over 3 seconds? Because they just get caught standing. Not being alert, not being ready to move in and out of that box. Don't get caught watching the paint dry. As I close, I want to close with this thought. If you and I truly understood the book of Revelation, I want you to pay attention to this thought. If you and I truly understood the book of Revelation, we all would be living our life differently today. I can guarantee you that. So I hope as we go through this, I don't know how long it's going to take. I'm not going to put it on a timetable. I'm not going to try to rush through it. I'm going to be honest with you. There might be times where I might have to take a break from it and focus on something else for a week or two. But if we truly understood this book, we would be living our life different than what we're living today. Why is that? Because time, it's coming. The return of Jesus, it's real. The judgment that's going to be placed upon this earth is real. The third temple that's going to be built, it's real. The sacrifice of the red heifer, it's real. It's already been done. That's a prophecy that you can mark and say, man, God is coming. We're living in an age of not just one Antichrist, we're living in an age of many Antichrists. So we really need to understand this book. So I encourage you, as we go through this, read along with me. Study with me. I'm going to encourage you this to do this. Hey, I don't understand this. Can you explain this just a little bit better? You know what my response is going to be? Yes, as soon as you can explain it to me better, I'll explain it better to you. But anyway, I believe God's going to work in our hearts and our lives through this, and I'm looking forward to the time that we're going to have.